Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale tinangalapo okondwela, lelo heka, tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kubutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomu wake, ni mafuto wabale ni mafuto. Kumwanako kuipirenji kuchitoko na mumufolo. Hamama inei njiwanda zota nizi. Taeza talema na yomapempelo. Ati kapena siku lina azati kumbukila oye. Chifu kwa lelo bantu bonse basoweza ulemu. Atate mwe, atate mwe.
Good morning and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. It is July the 5th, 2014. Time is flying like a jet that has just taken off. My name is Nathan Nkama and I'm hosting you from the great city of Dallas in Texas. This morning, we are very privileged and we are going to be talking to a group of young African leaders who have come from different parts of the country, of different countries in Africa, who are going to be taking part in this discussion. And let me welcome one of our guests who has already joined us. She's not a stranger to this show. She's already been here before, but we are privileged to have her as a guest, and we are waiting for the others to join us. Chola Lungu Mutoni is an entrepreneur, a fashion designer. She's going to tell us a lot of other things. Chola, good morning.
Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
Doing good. Chola is in my territory in the great state of Texas, and I'm glad you are here. You see how we enjoy the heat here, Chola?
Yes.
It's hot.
I'm very happy and excited to be here. Pardon?
Yeah. I'm saying it is hot, isn't it?
It's very hot. I didn't think it would be this hot, actually, but it's
okay.
It's manageable.
Excellent. All right. We are supposed to be joined by Isaac Mwanza. I think everybody knows Isaac, those that are who are on Facebook. And then Jacob Uma, also from Kenya, who is also part of this team. And they are having technical issues, and they will join us later, and things like that. Okay, Chola, you guys have come to the United States under this program called Washington Fellowship. Can you just explain to us what this is about?
Okay, so the Washington Fellowship program was initiated by the President of America, and it's, it's for young African leaders. There was a selection process. So first let me start from the beginning. We got an advert to apply to come to the United States for 6 weeks. And this was in different fields. There's three fields. There's business entrepreneurship, there's civic leadership, and public management. So we applied to come for academic coursework, for leadership training and networking. and also to be exposed to the way business is run here in America and to the way NGOs are run here and to the way government is also run here. So there was a selection
and
process and 50,000, pardon?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, and 50,000 applicants, 50,000 applications came in from across Africa and they picked 500. So there are different numbers from different countries.
Oh, wow. Out of 50,000, they picked 500, okay. And what was the criteria of the selection? Do you know how the criteria was used? What criteria was being used to make the selection?
Okay, first you had to be between 25 and 35 and also show that you're promoting some innovation and promoting positive change in an organization, institution, or your country.
Uh-huh. Excellent. So how did Chola qualify to be part of this?
Me? Well, when I applied, I spoke about building the importance of having a culture village in my country, Zambia, a place where we can preserve, document, and share what is Zambian. It's also a place that we can influence young people. I mean, we're being influenced by a lot of other, by the West and by the East and everywhere else. But also that we should just have a foundation of our own, get back to Ubuntu and, you know, learn who we are. Because a lot of our history it wasn't written down, so it's in songs and in poems and all these things. So I want to build a center where we can actually start documenting these things and make it friendly for the youth. Yes, we have museums and other cultural villages, but our young people are not going there, and I believe they might get lost and not have a sense of identity.
All right. So the Washington Fellowship, Chola, let me inform our listeners that there are supposed to be three guests from program that Chola is talking about, the Washington Fellowship, Isaac Mwanza and Jacob Nyuma from Kenya. They are having technical problems. We're trying to get him on the show. And everybody listening to us, thank you for joining us. This program, Chola, you say it's divided into three categories. You said civic leadership, public management, and entrepreneurship. What category are you in? And I also noticed that you guys have been divided into groups. We have others who are in Virginia, and you are in Austin. Can you also talk to that?
We have been divided, yes, in these three groups and in 20 universities across America. I'm in the business and entrepreneurship group. This is for this is to cater for young African leaders who are already getting into business, who have started businesses or trying to start up. So they're helping us manage our businesses better, and also for those who haven't started, plan them better. Yeah. The others have gone, like you said, civic leadership institutes. So those for those people who are in NGOs, community-based organizations. Those, and then there's the third part, as you said, the public management. This one's tailored for people who work or aspire to work in government or regional international offices. But all of us will go through
how
the leadership program.
Okay. How is it working for you so far? Because I know you are involved in a lot of things. Please tell our listeners and everybody who has called in what you do in Zambia and how this is working for you.
In Zambia, I've been hosting events around cultural awareness, around health and for youth. I also started designing clothes, so I'm managing a label. It's called Poleka, and we make Afrocentric clothes for women and men. And I am also part of Belladonna. It's actually a franchise from South Africa, but it's for grooming teenage girls again. Etiquette, it's modeling, it's interview skills. So for me, this program has been very helpful because I was trying to manage three things with a full-time job. It's difficult, but it's helped me focus. It's helped me think more deeply, especially with the culture village. Because I just jumped into it and I've been trying to get help from here and there. But they teach you how to to plan your business better. There's legal issues, there's community service involved, there's research involved in the kind of work you do. So it's, you know, when I came, I sort of had it together and I thought, okay, I'm doing the right thing. But I think for the first time, it was ripped apart, and then now I'm putting it back together in a more comprehensive way. So it's really helping me focus on what I want to do and narrow it down instead of doing 101 things.
Okay.
It's also helping, I think, with the...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
With the fashion and design, because it's Afrocentric, I'm also seeing a way of tying it into the culture village, because clothes are also... I mean, throughout history, if you look at clothes, you can tell what era it was worn, or, you know. So it's also helping me tie my businesses together, because first I was also thinking they're individual things, but now I can see the links.
Okay. Somebody who throw things, and we'll get into this, Chola, I sent you an article entitled U.S. Yali Program, A Demon Facing Africa. We'll get to that later. But I just want to throw this at you to say, somebody might argue with you and say, do you really need the Western or even American concept, training, leadership development for you to do what you are doing?
I think, first of all, I respect his opinion. I think we're all entitled to one. And another thing is, exposure is very important. Like I'm saying, sometimes... Uh-huh. You think you're really doing what the right thing is, and you're so content on your little program, but sometimes you need to hear from outside, maybe even outside your family, outside your country, outside the continent. And for me to be able to sell my concept, it's not only for Zambia, it's not only for Africa, it's for the world to experience. So if I can't take time to listen to the world, what the world is saying, I will not be able to sell or market it better for it to include everybody else.
Okay.
And I think we live in a global village. We can't continue thinking of just me.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things that are, you know, that come out of this thing. And I'll try as much as possible not to take it political, Chola. I'll promise you that. Maybe I'll wait for Isaac to try and handle that one. But that's basically the pressure that I'm getting, or the bombardment I'm getting from every angle here. So you are part of the team that is in Austin, Texas. Is that right?
Yes.
And what is your focus of your program, and why Austin, Texas?
Well, the university was one of the universities that is hosting the business and entrepreneurship leg of the program. So that's why this university is hosting us. And we're the people in my group, there are 25 of us from 18 different countries, because there's two from some of the countries. And a lot of us have been trying to run businesses the last few years, and there's still a good number that are just setting up. So it's been good for all of us. We're from different fields. There's the health sector, there's media, there's me with the culture village. There's another lady also doing fashion from Senegal. So it's different things. It's an interesting group, very diverse. And I think even after this, we might all be able to link up and do some work together. So it's
excellent.
Been very helpful.
Sorry to cut you short. And part of the concept or the whole purpose of the thing is also to, like you have rightly said, that the people that you are with in the group, you might end up getting together and do. So there is also the aspect of developing networking, isn't it?
Yes, that's a big thing, actually, the networking within the group. And also we're meeting business people within Austin, and we're pitching to them, we're telling them our ideas and what we want to do. So there's a lot of networking going on, yes.
Excellent. We're talking to Chola Lungu Mutoni. She's part of the Young African Leaders team who are in the Washington Fellow Leadership Training Program, and her group is in Austin, Texas. You know, one of the things that you say which is interesting is that there is 25 of you in your group representing 18 countries. Isn't that an interesting phenomenon. I mean, what are the dynamics in your group? How are things going as you interact, learning from each other, and just spending time together?
It's very interesting. Well, you know, in my mind, I thought, yeah, Africans will be very similar to me, and we'll all get along and have fun. It's hard. Even accents can be a problem because you think you, and because someone's African, you understand them or their tone will mean this, but you have to pay extra attention to tones and what it means, and accents as well. I mean, I've worked with Americans back home, so I think the American accent isn't a problem for me, but it's staying in one hostel with. With different, very different accents. And there's some French-speaking ones who English is their second language as well. So I had to remember some of my broken French, and that's been interesting. And I lived in Namibia and went to school in South Africa, so it's been very good meeting people from there as well and bonding with them. So it's harder connecting with them than our American friends. But we're learning.
you know, you really make me laugh when you say you are trying to adjust to accents. You know, it's very funny to hear an African say that.
No, we do have very different accents.
You do have very different accents. Let me check this line. I have somebody calling on an international call here. The last four digits are 9374. Hello, where are you calling from?
Hello, Nathan. Good afternoon here. My name is Oji. I'm calling from Nigeria.
Oh, Oji, thanks for joining us. How are things out there?
Yeah, things are good. We thank God.
Okay, good. Okay, we're talking to the young African leaders here who have come for a Washington Fellow program, and we do thank you for joining us, Oji. We are trying to connect Isaac, everybody. Like I've been saying, we're just trying to get a different perspective. And like I've said, I don't want to get Chola to be discussing the political thing because she's not in public management. Is that the terminology the Washington Fellows are using? Public management. That's a very fancy term to have the political, yeah? I like that. That's a very nice... Okay, Chola, let me read the one question for you from a friend here on Facebook. And the question says, Yari stands out as an organization that is an outspoken advocate for youth democratic engagement and nonviolent action in promoting peace and justice for human beings. How are they doing that? I don't know whether you are the right person to answer this question or we wait for Isaac, but try to address it.
Wow, that's a loaded statement. It stands out for what, youth?
It says that stands out for youth democratic engagement and nonviolent action in promoting peace and justice for all human beings. How are they doing that?
That's a tough question. Because maybe, like you said, I'm in the business leg of this program. I wouldn't know how to properly address it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll wait for Isaac to come on and address that. One of the things that is interesting about these programs, Chola, before I allow other people to ask you some questions and whatever other questions that they might have. Tell us, like, for example, can you mention to me, like, three nationalities that are represented in your group?
We have Nigeria. We have Niger. We have
Niger,
yes. We have Côte d'Ivoire. We have Zimbabwe, Botswana, Namibia, Zambia,
Mozambique. Let me ask this question. The reason I've raised this question is this. Okay, let's pick Niger, for example, a country with a lot of challenges in its own way and its own right. It was a French colony, okay? And then let's pick Mozambique, a country that has gone through its own challenges. It was colonized by the Portuguese. So we have Portuguese colony and French colony. Could you share some dynamics of some things that your colleagues from or colleague from Niger and Mozambique are sharing, which are unique to their situation?
Okay. I think all of us are coming from very different backgrounds. Some of, a lot, like you say, have gone through war. Others, like us, have never been through war. Others come from countries where there's millions of people and they may be more aggressive than us, the Zambians. I think we've all really tried to start on the same foundation and be very tolerant. But you can still see the levels of assertiveness, the levels of determination, because there are probably a lot more people fighting for things. And the people who've also lost something, so they're a lot more passionate about saving lives. They're a lot more passionate about acquiring land and things like that. I don't know if I'm making sense, but without picking on anybody or mentioning names, I'll just say there is definitely a difference from people who've come out of war, those who've never experienced this, people who've experienced apartheid. For me, I think I like to study people. So I sit back and look, and coming from my situation where I've never felt racism, I've never experienced war, it's interesting to watch how people handle certain situations. But you're right, it's interesting. And even I'll go back to the projects that we're doing really represent what people are trying to fight for. Like you can see some people, the health system is really bad because they're fighting to improve maternal health. Some people are fighting, are trying to promote ways of recycling garbage because that system hasn't been well developed as well. So for me, maybe what I'm passionate about is preserving my culture. So you can see, I mean, another person is doing a beauty product. So we can see how diverse the issues are and what's important to the different people in the group.
Okay, excellent. All right, we have Mr. Mwanza joining us here. He is in the group that is in Virginia, Isaac Mwanza. Isaac, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Nathan. And
welcome to the show, Isaac. All right, Isaac, tell the listeners what you do in Zambia and what qualified you to be part of this Washington Fellowship Program.
Well, I'm thankful first to mention that you have invited me to participate in this program. And I wish to apologize to the listeners that for coming in late. I think we had some technical problems from this side. I am the governance advisor of the Young African Leaders Initiative in Zambia. As you may be aware, the Young African Leaders Initiative was formed in Zambia in 2011, just shortly after President Obama had hosted the President's Forum for Young African Leaders in 2010. So I'm part of the team that sat to discuss the formation, the way forward after the President's Forum of 2010. And we later came to agree with other participants that attended the President's Forum that we could go ahead and establish an organization which was called the Young African Leaders Initiative. And I happen to be the current governance advisor of the Young African Leaders Initiative.
Okay. So, Isaac, where you are, they sent you to Virginia, and You are in the Chola has already informed us that there's the civic entrepreneurship and public management. Which program are you in as far as this Washington Fellowship is concerned, and what sort of things are you covering or dealing with?
I am currently, yes, as you have heard, we are in the University of Virginia. The University mm-hmm. of Virginia, we have what is the Presidential Precinct, and the Presidential Precinct comprises more than three institutions. There are about six host institutions. So the last 2 weeks, we have been moving from one institution to the other to discuss issues of civic leadership. So I'm currently doing civic leadership. Other 18 African participants, 25 participants from 18 different states in Africa. Mm.
All right. Considering what you do in Zambia, Isaac, before I let my other colleagues, a lot of people have called in and they would like to ask questions. What you do in Zambia and what the program is looking like, how it is structured, and the other members of the team from different countries, how is this helping you?
The Washington Fellowship is helping us so much. Especially me in particular, because I'm able to meet my fellow colleagues from different different countries in Africa who have almost the similar challenges that that we have across the continent, that we have in Zambia. And so sharing mm-hmm. this, sharing the information with the young African colleagues is helping us to think in a broader term about our governance system, about our democratic system, about so many things that we need to change on the African continent. And so this is a very helpful program. We are not just here in the United States to learn theoretical concepts. We are here also to share amongst ourselves as young Africans. So we are trying to like build a network of the like-minded who are able to think about mm-hmm. their continent way forward. We are able to critique the information that is being imparted to say, okay, can you clarify on this? We're also able to share about the beautiful things that are happening on the African continent. For instance, the democracy that is happening in South Africa, the democracy in Ethiopia, what has happened, for instance, in Kenya now, where they have a very good constitution, how they arrived at that, how we are all battling to deal with the issue of tribalism. All those issues, we're able to look at them and reflect as to what is the future of Africa.
Mm, excellent. Chola, Isaac, before I let Campbell, Patrick, Peter, Matilda, and everybody that has called in, and Twambo in Germany, before they come in, let me put this question to you. Chola, you are in the entrepreneurship or business aspect, and Isaac, in the civic or democratic part of it. You are trying to get American concepts and take them into Africa. How do you respond to that? You can't do business in Africa the way they do it in America. The laws are different. The culture is different. The atmosphere is different. The currency is different, to say the least.
Yeah, I think... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, I think I'd be limiting myself by thinking I can only operate my business within Zambia. The cultural village, for me, I see it as a tourist destination as well, because everybody else goes to Livingstone and the other lower Zambezi, but nobody is coming to Lusaka. And I think there's a lot more we can do in Lusaka. Also with the fashion is a global thing. I can't just say I should understand Zambian laws. If I'm going to export my clothes to America, I need to understand the laws, need to understand the businesses, but also just to be open-minded, because sometimes, like I said, you think you've got it together and you know what's happening, but you need to listen to people outside and see what's happening somewhere else to improve what you're doing. So that's how I see it.
Okay. Isaac, you want to respond to the same comment?
that's a very, very interesting comment. And I totally agree with you that the dynamics can be very different from the United States and Africa. But what we must be able to realize is that why do we go out of the continent? Why do we go to other countries like South Africa to learn from those institutions? Why do people come to the United States to learn? Why do people go to Britain to learn? So this is a global village, like Chola has talked about. And in this global village, there are a lot of things that we share, and a lot of best practices that we can learn, a lot of things that we have to move out and say these, they do not fit in the African context. In terms of our governance system, most African nations have a different system of governance, which is different from the United States. But the lessons that we're able to get from such a program are very vital as we think about the future of Africa. We are also able to influence, to let people understand how Africa is operating and what we think about the African continent. Because ultimately, you are right, the future of Africa is dependent on the African people themselves, how they want to be governed. What is it that we want from our leaders? What are our expectations? What kind of laws do we need? I'm sure you also appreciate that if you look at the British, when they came to Africa, they found we had a system of governance which involved the chiefs. They came and imposed the new laws on the continent, and these laws are still existing. Some of them in Britain are not existing, but in Africa we still have those laws. So it is time for us to rethink about the kind of governance system that we want, how we can tie it to our own, but you cannot take away the importance of knowledge. Knowledge is power, and you need to constantly share the knowledge with other people in the global world. You know what is said in Zambia. They say that there is a Bemba term. I'm not Bemba, unfortunately. But they say, umwana, what do they say?
Mano shenda.
Mano shenda. Atasha. The problem is...
Atasha, you know kunaya.
Exactly.
That's okay, Isaac, let me cut you there and allow other people to ask questions. Obviously, everybody can tell between a person who's politically inclined and entrepreneurial business person, because Chola doesn't talk much, just gets to the point, but the politician goes on explaining. That's good. Okay, let's go to Bonn, Germany. Chwambo, please go ahead with your comment or question.
Okay. I was looking online when you had advertised actually on Facebook that you were going to have Chola and Isaac coming onto the show. I went online to look for more information about the Young African Leaders Initiative, and I actually found a Zambian blog called Yali Zambian. I guess that's what Isaac was talking about, and then they update everything, and there's pictures of, you know, young school children, etc. My question was targeted to Chola. So for everything that you are learning, especially the entrepreneurial skills and things you're learning about, you know, the laws and things like that, do you feel a certain pressure to go back home and teach other people what you are learning? Or is this basically just your own personal experience? Like, are you thinking about transferring what you learned to some of the young people in Zambia? Or are you waiting to first see how you would make it work for yourself before you feel you can go ahead and teach other young people about it?
Wow, I think I want to, and I'm going to. I worked full-time with Family Health International, but that contract ended 30th June, and so my main focus now is to go back and build the culture village, which is not too far from where I live. It's in Lusaka, in New Kasama.
Mm-hmm.
The land is there, and all I need now is to get the right partners on board. I mean, I've been doing events around what I want to do for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And what the program is helping me do is probably structure it a bit better. I've been getting sponsorship from different companies and individuals who support the idea of preserving our culture. So when I go back home, it's a little renovation and rehabilitating the place to make it accessible. Mm-hmm. For me, I think my passion has been rites of passage for girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe there's information that needs to be passed on to them early.
Mm-hmm.
And With the fashion component, I think I'll attract a lot of young ladies, and I'm opening it to men as well, because we can't teach the girls and not the guys and hope they end up happy together.
Mm-hmm.
So with the information I'm getting, it's for me, it's empowering me and enriching me, but I have to go and definitely start setting up the Culture Village.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and one more question that I had. I mean, you obviously, especially you talking about, you know, you can't sort of keep it only to the Zambian context, only learning Zambian laws, only thinking about the Zambian market. If your market, your like the fashion that you're doing, the history, the Culture Village, if it is going to be on a global scale, you are going to have to learn from other people how to make things work. Do you think that it is easier for young people in Zambia to access this sort of information instead of going to the U.S. like you have? Is there a place in Zambia where young people can access information like you are learning and they don't have to travel elsewhere, other than, of course, you going back and teaching them? But are there portals like this that exist for young Zambians to learn these skills about the international market without having to leave the country?
I think what we have a place called Bongo Hive. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of discussion groups that are starting. You know, people will post something and people will meet and have discussions. So they are starting. I think a group of people will get together depending on their interest. Even in fashion now, we have every month end, there's like a fashion discussion going on, and different people who want to be involved in fashion or are already involved get together, talk about challenges, how we can address them. So I think more and more we're realizing we need to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And traveling to the United States is a blessing for me. It's an honor, and I was humbled to be part of the team. And
mm-hmm.
it is my responsibility to go back and share. So for those who are reading online, for those who are traveling, for those who are experiencing it, I think it's just important that we all keep meeting and sharing this information.
Okay, great.
Thank
those
you,
were,
Twambo.
Those were my
Let's
questions.
Go
mm-hmm.
to... excellent. Let's go to Mr. Kambo Lumbila in New York. Kambo, please go ahead.
Hi, Chola. Hi, Isaac. How you doing?
Hi.
It's great to have you guys in the U.S. and I actually have a friend on your team. So I'm personally invested in what is happening. But let me ask a question to Chola first. How do you think we can scale entrepreneurial leadership and education in Zambia? Because, I mean, you are here, you've shared your ideas, and you have input from other people. But how do you see this translating in Zambia? Can we scale this?
Okay, I think we can. One thing I think we need to do, maybe I'll move away a little bit, is start introducing entrepreneurship skills earlier. Because we leave school without any of these skills. I mean, you come out of grade 12, you don't know any way of starting a business, you don't even have the theory. So I think we should introduce it as a course earlier in our education system. I don't know if I'm addressing your point.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so I think we should fight. For me, I think I'd want to fight that we introduce entrepreneurship early, maybe from as early as grade 8. Because I remember when I was at St. Mary's in Lusaka, I saw these pens at the Woodlands shops, which I bought and I started selling in my class for, I think, an extra kwacha more. And I didn't even think I was an entrepreneur then. But I think if you start encouraging people to start saving and making money early in their lives, not just waiting till they finish university to start saving, I think we need to start instilling this thing in our youth early in life. It can be done through schools.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaac, I don't know if you've had a chance to read one of these articles Nathan sent to me. It was actually very interesting. U.S. YALI program, A Demon Facing Africa. How do you respond to the, I don't even want to call it an allegation, but I guess it is, that, you know, this program is basically being subtly used by the United States government to kind of infiltrate Africa and kind of influence the future of Africa?
I think to me, I would put the question in another way. Like, What are the benefits that we can get from this program? What are the benefits that Africa is getting from this program? And what is the United States getting from this program? And like I have said, young people who have come here, they are already young leaders in their own way. And they have done a lot for Africa. We have a passion for Africa. We feel for the entire continent and for our countries like Zambia. So to me, to be told that I would want to be influenced in this program, I think that is not right. But like I said, this is a program where you cannot live in your mother's home alone. You need to go out and think broadly. The problems that are happening in Africa, it doesn't mean that America has no problems. America still has problems in terms of the ideologies that it, even in Congress. Congress can be divided. The Senate can be divided over ideologies. But ultimately, America is able to solve its own problems. They're able to sit beyond the ideological problems they have. They're able to sit and resolve the problems. Africa, we still have similar problems. We have the issues of tribalism, which is happening in Zambia and across the African continent. A lot of countries like Kenya, I know that Kenya has that problem. If you look at Rwanda, it was divided between ethnic backgrounds. That war that happened was because of the two tribes not able to relate with each other and understand each other that they can sort out their problems. So, since America has those problems, we need to understand how are they able to sort out their own problems? How are they able to put national interests first? We have similar problems. The challenges that are there are the same as in this country. So this program, to me, is just helping us to think broadly about what is needed in Africa. Not really to like brainwash the people and say, go back to Africa, go and think in that order. No. This is a program the United States would be benefiting. For instance, we in Virginia have met 3 senators as of to date. We have discussed with Senator Warren, we have discussed with Senator Kane, and I've forgotten the name of the other senator. We have discussed with them to say on a number of issues that are affecting the African continent. And probably we have helped them to understand the other angle of the African continent in terms of leadership, in terms of the way we are growing our democracy, in terms of the laws that Africa is having, okay? Mm-hmm. So to me, I think this is a program where even the people from the United States are benefiting because they're able to listen from African youth to say, this is how you think about your continent, and not a way around to say, no, when you go back to Africa, you need to think like this or like that. That is not the way it is.
Of course, Isaac, when you want to chew a frog in hot water, don't throw it in hot water. You first put it in cold water, then you slowly pour it to a place where it dies. So,
and you slowly start turning up the temperature.
Yeah, just raise the temperature. It's an amphibian, so it would adjust. I think my point being that I think we should not be naive in terms of what the end game is in, for this program. While there are many positives that that we can take away from this initiative, I also see it as a way of the U.S. playing catch up with China in terms of development in Africa and their involvement in Africa, but also kind of influencing African political ideology over the long term. So if we can influence as many young Africans to think like America thinks, therefore we can kind of change the destiny of Africa to kind of be this microcosm of an American culture. That is just my opinion, but I think that what is happening and what you're learning, I think, can be translated to Zambia. I would be very interested to hear some of the best practices that you have learned here that you think can actually be applied in our nation.
Gambo, thank you. Let me ask this question to Chola. Just give me a moment here, Isaac. Chola, based on what Gambo has said, I don't know how you'd respond to this in terms of business. Gambo says this is the U.S. trying to do catch-up with Chinese investment in Africa. as an entrepreneur, business person, and whatever things you do, how do you look at that concept of saying America playing catch up? Because they think that they haven't done a good job in terms of investment, so let's capture the young minds. By the time they'll be taking over leadership and authority, they'll be doing business like America does. How do you respond to that, Chola?
I think I respect everyone's opinion. I think we're all entitled to one. But on where, mm-hmm. from where I stand, this is a very rich and empowering course, and the kind of material I've learned in the last 3 weeks, I have not been able to learn by myself in 4 weeks. So if I believe what I'm doing is going to benefit a lot of youth back home, whether it's going to influence me as a leader, I don't know if I'm going into politics anytime soon. but there will always be a negative person in a group. I mean, there's whatever issue you bring up, there will always be someone who sees the negative side of it. There will always be someone who sees evil in it. In whatever you do in life, there's always that one person. But I'll speak on my own behalf. The kind of guidance and information and exposure I'm getting is for me to empower myself and go and share. So, I don't know, everybody is experiencing it, I guess, at a different level. So, and I guess everybody's entitled to their opinion, and they'll see it from different angles. Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's what I feel.
Okay, good. Let's go to Missouri. Matilda, please go ahead. Hello, Matilda.
I apologize, okay. I had muted myself. I'm here, Nathan.
Go ahead.
A very interesting discussion going on. Chola and Isaac, welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. My question is very simple. I think it is. Chola, you had described the age group is between 25 and 35. Being that, you know that 10-year gap, people's mindsets will be very different. What's the youngest age, if you guys are privy to that information, what's the youngest age in that group? And I know there may be some who are in that 35-year age group. The reason for the question is, you know, how does that make the discussion, you know, how does it change the discussion when you are having group or class discussions? The second part of this question is, are all the classmates Africans or do you have some Americans? Do you guys have any influence in your discussions on the Americans that are there? Thanks.
Hi, Matilda, this is Chola. For the group discussions, I think it helps to have that age gap because you hear it from different levels and also from different countries, I guess. So it's very diverse and very interesting as well. As when it comes to the influence, we've been hosted by a Nigerian lecturer here. We've been spoken to by a Senegalese businessman. So we have Americans living here, even an Indian lecturer. So we have influence not only from American lecturers, but a very diverse group of individuals as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Isaac?
Yes, I think like Chola had mentioned, the issue of age, yes, we may have someone probably below the age of 27, maybe about 26 or so, to be exact. And I think what they bring when it comes to group discussion is that you are able to also understand from them what they think. The diversity that comes in is very, very important. We do not just have, we are not just looking at age, we also have the experience. Others are like here in Virginia, we have people that have been in civil society for a long time. We have people that have tried to contest in politics for some time, like in their own countries, like Kenya. We have one person from Kenya who contested the last a parliamentary election in Kenya. So when you have such kind of people with diverse backgrounds, it enriches, the discussion becomes so rich, okay? And we also have Americans who are interns on this program. They are also trying to learn from Africa because some of them have never been to Africa, okay? And most Americans, what I've discovered, is that most Americans, they just learn from school about Africa. they do not have that opportunity to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So their presence in the class, it's a smaller fraction, but their presence to try and learn from us is adding a lot of diversity to the program. Now,
excellent.
Let me just respond
excellent.
To the issue of the end game. The end game,
okay.
To me...
Very quickly, we have to take one or more questions. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The end game, I think, to me, is about... We also need to ask about why is it that every African would aspire to go out of Africa and study, okay? Why is it that we have so many people in the United States and United Kingdom studying? Why is it that you want to go to Zimbabwe to another university to study? Do you want to be influenced by the investors in Zimbabwe or the political system in Zimbabwe? That shouldn't be the point. The point is that this is one global village and we need to learn from each other.
Excellent. Okay, let's take our last question from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Patrick, please go ahead.
Yes, how are you, Chola, and how are you, Isaac?
We are fine. We're
fine.
How are we?
Good. I have a question, first of all, for Chola about culture orientation model. As you're aware, our culture orientation model in different parts of the world is very different from each other. Mostly, most Africans, we are very communal oriented, culture orientation. I was wanting, this has bothered me for some time, and I'm glad you're here, and I see how what you're wanting to do, which I think is encouraging, and I think it must be supported. But I have a question for you. Why New Kasama? Why not just Kasama? And I have a problem, and the reason why I'm saying this, because, you know, we are developing a system where we have New Kasama. Are we going to have a New Mongu, New Chipata in Lusaka? You know, so why not just go to these areas?
New Kasama is what the place is called. I can't change the name of the area. It's a neighborhood.
No,
that's
what I'm saying
New
is
Kasama.
So, no, what I'm saying
you want
is
me to go to
why
the
not,
actual Kasama?
Yes, because we are people who actually in New Kasama is predominantly very wealthy people, and instead of retiring and going to Kasama and go do some work in Kasama, you know what? I'm from Kasama. Let me just retire here and call this place New Kasama. And we're going to have someone from Mongu who says, you know what, instead of me retiring going to Mongu, I'll go to retire somewhere in Lusaka East or Lusaka West and call this place New Mongu. And we're going to have these places all over Lusaka area, urban areas. So I think my point is, why not go to these areas, Chola, and begin to help and create these same cultural villages that you're running to do, which I think is a marvelous and very, very encouraging project that you're doing.
Okay. No, I thank you very much for your support, and I will be calling on you when the village starts and we need help from outside. But again, I can't control what I call the area. For me, Lusaka is central. And I think, you know, the youth in Kasama or in Mongu, in Choma, have the support already. The communal aspect, as you mentioned, is there. They still have the support of their grandmothers and aunties. But the youth in Lusaka, I'm really worried about the youth in urban areas because, you know, growing up, there are certain things your parents can't talk to you about, your aunties can. So those aunties are aware they're in the States, they've moved away. So I need a center where it's safe, alcohol-free, where they can come and we'll still talk about the rites of passage and create a sense of pride, of patriotism, of who we are as Zambians. It doesn't matter what tribe you are. And doesn't matter what the neighborhood is called, it will be the cultural village, the Zambian cultural village. I hope that answers your question.
Not much,
yeah,
but I'm surely going to follow it up. Isaac, I have a question for you. And the question is, you talked about how that some laws that we still have in Zambia are actually archaic in Britain itself. But I wanted to bring you back to what Otto von Bismarck said at the turn of the 19th century, where he said, the map of Africa lies in Europe. pretty much a lot of these problems that we're experiencing were actually, I could say they were foreseen. For example, the Zambian situation, where you saw that most people from northern part of Zambia were given a privileged position by the British government. When you go to Kenya, the same situation happened. You go to Burundi, this tribe was given more things to do. How are you going to help in trying to be the bridge to kind of take people from that type of thinking into this new type of thing that you're trying to do? And how can you work with Chola, who is trying to bring this culture orientation in young people to be proud of who we are and our cultural heritage?
Yeah, you are right, and I like the quote from Bismarck. I think, you see, the issue, we totally agree. Most of the problems that we have were the result of the influence of the West on the African continent. And so these laws, such as the Public Order Act and the many such laws which are in the Penal Code, we need to rethink about these laws and chart a way forward where we can promote greater freedom of expression, freedom of the press. We need to amend these laws. We need a constitutional reform. We need to do an overhaul of the entire legal system in our country. And we are happy so far that the Patriotic Front government, they have appointed a commission which is trying to review some of these laws so that we can bring it to up to date. And we as Young African Leaders Initiative, and myself in particular, I think I've been involved in this process of trying to ensure that we have better laws in our countries. Of course, at a greater cost at some point. So I think it's about working together. We need to talk about the issue of our culture, trying to emphasize on our culture. And I'm glad that Chola is actually doing this program. It is one of the programs that ASIALE would be very important to support and work with work alongside a vision to try and promote what she's actually doing. Now, the issue of New Kasama, yes, I think she has answered it, but let me just make a very quick comment that we noticed. One of the issues that was burning even in our class here in Virginia. Why should we say, even here in America, that they're African-Americans? Why don't you just say, these are Americans, okay? Here is a person, because he's black, you want to say, this one is African-American. Why don't you just say, American? This is an American citizen, okay? This is African-American, white American. Every American is supposed to be called American, not using the color like black Americans. We do not have such a thing like in our country where we are going to be saying white Zambian, black Zambian. We do not have such kind of systems. So I think we, in terms of the place, yes, that's just a name. But I think it has opened our mind to thinking to say, is this not part of the segregation that is still going on, even here in America, where you'll be calling people black American? The person has been born here and being raised here. He should just be called American citizen. That is all.
That's true. Okay, Isaac. All right, everybody. That was Young African Leaders Initiative, who are in the Washington Fellowship Program, Chola Lungu Mutoni. Thank you, Chola.
Thank you very much for having me on the program.
Isaac, thank you.
Thank you very much for hosting us, and the regards to every Zambian back home and the Zambians who have welcomed us here into the United States. We thank you so much.
Yes, I know you guys are around for some time. What we'll try to do is, through you and your leaders, we'll try to organize if we can speak to other members of the program who are in this project from different countries, so that we can also get their perspective and learn what is happening in other countries. Next week on our World Cup roundup, we'll be talking to a Zambian who is actually in Brazil, and then on perspectives at the same time, we'll be talking to Dr. Richard Dimbewe, a Zambian who lived in Poland for 20 plus years and decided to go back home. Do have a great weekend. It's 4th of July, and everybody, thanks for joining us, and we do thank you for the leadership of the Washington Fellowship for allowing us to speak to Chola and Isaac. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Mulungu munisungile banja. Kapena vintu zingachinde, tingankale osangalala. Zuba ingatoki, talema na pepo. Kapena mbale wanga, azazi wakuti akula. Azazi otawa mavuto, alimumanja mwake. Kapena zaziwa, kutia funiko limba. Chifukwa ni mwamuna, hafuniko vuti kila banja. Kuti ni bambo wa nyumba, elo atataye wana. Siunga ziwe, aza kutunga kutogoro.